and welcome to the Amongst Romans podcast, your window to everything Italy from an outsider's perspective. Join us each week as we navigate the Italian way of life and all the adventures that come along with it. Hello, and welcome to the first official episode of our podcast. My name is Kasia.
And I'm Alex, and we're starting this podcast after living here for just over a year.
And we'll be sharing with you our journey of moving to Italy. Adventures that come along of moving to a different country, give you a bit of a background on who we are, why we moved here, and the kind of things you can expect to hear from us. So from, the beautiful places we've discovered along the way to adventures we've had adapting to living in Italy, to learning Italian, making friends, and everything else in between. So to give you some context, we moved from Toronto, Canada, a city of about 3 million people, give or take. Toronto is Canada's biggest city. I think it's also considered one of the most multicultural cities in the world. And now we live in the Italian countryside. So we live in the Campania region. We're about an hour away from Naples and the Amalfi Coast. And the town is about, 3,000 people.
Yeah, about 3,000 people. We got great views of the Apennine Mountains. Huge contrast compared to our surroundings back in Canada. We have a lot more space. We unfortunately do need a car to get around. The upside is there's a lot of connections to major highways nearby and other towns. So, we're not far off from Avellino, which is the capital of the region.
And there's also the bus that comes every hour?
Yeah, there is a bus that stops by every hour and, stops at a lot of the adjacent towns and the cities. Locally, they grow chestnuts, hazelnuts, and a variety of grape that they use for the Aglianico wine.
The company that makes the wine from here, what's the name of that?
The name is Mastro Berardino, and he's been growing those grapes in the area for quite some time, and he's very popular and well known for that type of wine.
Are they mostly white wine, red wine, or do they have white wines as well?
They mostly do the red Aglianico wine, but I believe they also make some of the white wines that are also popular in the area, which is the Taurasi wine and the Falangina.
Although we haven't really done any wine tours, I don't think that the wineries are in our area do them. Do you think so?
I think, once again, I think Mastro Berardino might actually have wine tours in the area. But we've done some of the wine festivals nearby. There's several small towns that have thrown the wine festivals that we attended. And those have been pretty interesting.
Yeah, I guess we'll have to look into those and we'll share that with you guys when we actually do one. So about a town. So the town is about 1,000 years old?
Yeah, the town is about 1,000 years old with traces of settlement going back to the 8th century BC. And it was, I do remember, it was damaged severely by the earthquake of the early 80s and recently rebuilt about 20 years ago.
We didn't really mention anything about the Romans, so there isn't that much of a presence from that time, but we do have a church in town. And there's four of them, but this particular one, I think it might have been a temple at some point. And then the church, I think from what I could find, the church that's there, I think they built in about 12th century. And I think now it's kind of more from the 17th century. So we do have there's a bit of a relief in the church that looks like it might have been a column. So that's kind of exciting. But the town itself is a bit more modern looking. We have a really narrow main street where you can't fit two cars beside each other. So sometimes it's it's quite a surprise when you're driving by and then, is there a car coming towards you? Or, you have to move over and let the other car go by, or they let you go by. Thankfully, there isn't that much traffic, so that isn't too much of an issue. But it's, again, something that's very different than, you know, the wide streets we have in Toronto, which are very easy to navigate with multiple highway, multiple lanes.
Yeah, once again, that goes back to the medieval times, I guess. The streets haven't changed a whole lot. The width of the streets, the homes have been pretty much the same.
So how old is the house your aunt lives in? I think they told us it's like 400 years old, that whole area there.
Yeah, I think it was over 400 years old. It's, you know, it's part of the old town. It's, you know, has that medieval architecture, and yeah, it's been in the family for quite a while.
That was a family home, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was going back to my great grandparents. You know, they migrated here, got married, and had children. So it goes back quite a bit.
The house she lives in now, like, remember the first time we came here, there was just the facade. That's what I remember the first time we came. So they took it quite a bit of time to rebuild it, didn't they?
Yeah, they did take their time rebuilding it. Unfortunately, you know, the government had to redistribute all the funds that they received from back in the early 80s. And they finally managed to, you know, put all the plans in place to distribute and repair all these homes in the area.
So unfortunately, we don't live in a historic home, but fortunately, we have a home. So we live in... there's a lot of building, I guess, dating from the time from the 80s, which is after the earthquake, where they started rebuilding these multi-family homes. There's like a mix of like really old, historic, almost like medieval still architecture to sort of more, I guess, for this area, modern, like from the 80s and on up. So you have a little mix of everything.
Yeah, we also have to keep in mind, you know, Italy is an old country. You know, many, many families have had a home passed down, you know, over hundreds of years, probably. And, you know, they're not everyone stays in Italy. You know, people pass away, parents, grandparents, and many of their children end up leaving to find work outside of Italy and don't return. So a lot of these homes are... you know, old and dilapidated, and you know, I've been sitting there for quite a while with no one to take care of them.
And actually, you know, one of the other things I think we should mention is because of people doing just that, you have a lot of these sort of, they're very big, like there are, like I mentioned, there are multi-unit homes, and there is a lot of them that are empty, like nobody lives there. Or sometimes people come, they come here for the summer. And, you know, in the fall, they just go back to, I guess, their regular house somewhere. But, you know, you have a lot of that in the little towns. You have a lot of empty homes that are either totally empty or there's one family lives in one of the units and the other units are vacant until somebody, you know, comes from overseas. So that's also very interesting. Like, I don't think there's a shortage of housing, at least not where we live. When it comes to buying properties, there are some properties for sale, but it's not the same way it is like in Toronto when you have apartments coming for sale and people going crazy with buying them. So it's a bit of a different feel in this town.
No, there have been some people that have moved away to other parts of Europe. You know, for example, the UK, lived there for a while and then, you know, came back after a number of years.
Yeah, and I think that's a very common thing here too. We have our neighbor across the street. His family is in Montreal, are they?
Yeah, yeah. He actually spent some time in Montreal, and once he experienced those cold winters, it didn't last too long. He, you know, hightailed it out of there and came back to town.
Yeah, especially Montreal winters. I've been there. This is much more pleasant here. Okay, so maybe we should go into another very common question, which we got from our friends and family, is why Italy? Why are you guys moving to Italy?
Well, you know, both my parents are Italian, and My mom is from this town. She was born here, and my father was actually born in a town nearby. So, you know, we spent quite a bit of my childhood summers here with family and friends. And, you know, my mother's family, you know, all my aunts and uncles and cousins, they all live here. I do know they did have a little stint, a short stint that was out in Boston. And then, but, you know, they didn't like it there and returned.
We lived here in 2018 for about 3 months to try it out. So, yeah, we are very familiar with Italy, with this town, with how things are here. So it wasn't like a huge culture shock for us coming here. It didn't really take that long to get used to because we've been here. It's not a new destination that we've never been, which has made it a bit easier to transition to living here. I personally, I'm a history major, so I love architecture. I love art and I love ancient ruins. And, you know, Italy has all of that in spades. So for me, yeah, that was a no-brainer. Italy was the perfect destination. And people, when people say to me, why do you live in Italy? I'm like, well, look at this. An hour from us, there are ancient Greek temples. You know, we are close to Naples. Naples has a lot of Greek and Roman ruins under the city. You know, we're close to Pompeii. We're close to Herculaneum. So all the things I love are just around us. So, you know, it's a no-brainer. Food is also amazing. Like everything in Europe, it tastes better, right? Like tomatoes smell like tomatoes and they taste like tomatoes, strawberries. Like the food is great. You know, it's a lot more affordable than Canada. Prices in Canada are going quite high. We thought, you know, why don't we just, you know, if we're going to move at some point, it's a good time as any. So we thought, you know what? Italy is a lot more affordable right now for us. That's why we moved here.
Yeah, well, let's backtrack a little bit to the food. You know, I love eating, so you know the food here, you know, is next level. You know, the difference between Italy and, you know, Canada or even North America, everything is essentially homegrown. You know, locally grown. Most of the times, you can go to the markets, enjoy local produce, or you know, near produce from neighboring towns and cities. So it's quite an experience. You know, you can get fresh produce from the markets and enjoy fresh food at home. You can cook at home. You don't have to go out and eat all the time, like we find ourselves doing quite a bit back home.
Funny enough, there are some things in the store, like dried beans and stuff, that actually are from Canada, which is kind of funny. But yeah, we did see it. A lot of times you have, a lot of it is Italian made. So again, everything is local. I'm actually quite surprised that for, you know, a country that's part of the EU, where we live at least, there isn't much of like a variety of European things, like cheeses, for example. They're all very Italian. So you don't really get a lot of like, you know, Spanish cheeses or French cheeses. Maybe that's just where we live. Maybe places like Rome might have like a bigger variety, but where we are, it's pretty much local stuff. Like you know, you maybe get stuff from like Sicily or Puglia, but most of everything else is pretty much local, no?
Yeah, that may be the case. You know, we may not have the type of selection that you might find in the larger cities, but you know, you do find the odd Swiss cheese, you know, some of the stuff that's closer by, and I think some of the German cheeses, like, you know, what is it, Lederhosen or something like that.
Isn't that Dutch? I thought that was Dutch cheese. Anyway, there is feta. We did find feta. Since we live in an area that is, you know, the volcano, there are so many like massive watermelons, other squash, like, are those pumpkins? There's some kind of like a giant squash that is very like long, and it's actually bigger than a child. Like, I don't know, like a small child, it's probably bigger and taller than that. And it probably weighs way more too, no?
I think they're like giant zucchinis. You know, the land here is really fertile, so you get, you know, you get some monstrosities when it comes to a lot of the produce. Yeah, so we originally planned to move out to Italy in 2018, but obviously, you know, that got a bit delayed after the whole pandemic hit, and you know, it was put on ice for a little while. So we did have a lot of time to think about it during the pandemic, and you know, the more we thought about it, you know, the more we experienced how life was back home. You know, I think that kind of pushed us to accelerate our plans to get this going as soon as possible. So as soon as the pandemic or we were allowed to start traveling, I think, you know, that's when we put everything into motion and seriously thought of, you know, what our exit plan was. So I'm not an EU citizen. You know, Kasia is an EU citizen, and we were able to make our transition over to Italy.
Yeah, that was a process. So I was born in Poland, moved to Canada when I was a kid. My passport that I originally had expired like many, many years ago, and I never bothered to renew it because I thought, what's the point? My Canadian passport could get me more places. So I never bothered with it. So I thought, okay, we're going to move to Italy. I'm just going to go get my passport and that'll be it. But that turned out to be a bit of a complication too, because the Polish government didn't automatically consider me a citizen, which is a bit ironic. So I had to hire a lawyer. They gave me all the paperwork. Then the consulate in Toronto required an additional paper that I needed to do. So that took a while. So I think I got my passport at the end of 2020. So again, because of COVID, everything else was sort of delayed. So I finally got my passport, which was the first step for us actually moving here. Then we had to get everything translated. So Canada has a bit of a different process, because the way it was explained to us was that when they were signing some kind of agreements between countries, Canada didn't sign a certain checkbox. So basically in Canada, when we have a document translated from English to Italian, you then have to take this to the Italian consulate. The Italian consulate has to, I forget the word for it, but they basically have to authenticate this translation, which adds another step. Like if it was, let's say, in the US, I believe you can just have it translated by a designated translator that's authorized to translate documents and you're fine. Whereas in Canada, we had to do that extra step. So that was a bit of a complicated process, which now it seems not that bad. But again, it was a bit of like getting everything translated. So we had to get a marriage certificate translated. We had to get we had to get your birth certificate translated. So there was quite a bit of work done to get our documents. Now, we didn't mention, but we also have a dog that came with us. So we also had to get paperwork for her, which wasn't as complicated, because when we were here in 2018, we had two dogs at the time. So we knew what it was. And so that part in itself wasn't too complicated.
Well, let's go back a bit, you know, explain a little bit more about how the process was like with regards to being able to even stay, for myself to stay in Italy. You know, you're probably all wondering, why am I using Kasia to stay here when I have parents that are Italian, of Italian descent? So because of the fact that they renounced their citizenship prior to me being born, that essentially made me ineligible. So I couldn't apply for citizenship through bloodline, because that you know, them renouncing their citizenship basically cut that off. So because of that, we had to apply using Kasia's EU citizenship, her Polish citizenship. So that's the route we ended up taking.
And I believe if we stayed in Canada, you would not be able to apply for your Italian citizenship ever, right?
Yeah, that's correct. You know, there was no option for me to get citizenship from Canada. You know, I visited the consulate, and you know, they showed me the you know, the information on my dad, because he was able to get his citizenship back back in the 90s, early 90s. I think they made some changes to the law, and they allowed former citizens to get their citizenship back. And at the time, you know, I was not a minor any longer. My sister was lucky, so she was able to get her citizenship through that route. But unfortunately, you know, because of that fact that I was no longer a minor at the time, I couldn't get citizenship.
But they told us that after living here for like, what, 3-4 years, you're able to apply here.
Yeah, after living 3 to 4 years here in Italy, I'm able to apply for citizenship.
Yeah, and I think I can apply. It's a year longer for me. So right now, we are both legally residents in Italy, but we're not citizens, so we can't vote. But we can buy property, we can have a job, apply for a job, we can do pretty much, we can buy a car, we can open a bank account, we can do everything that, you know, a citizen could, except for voting. So we can't vote. And yeah, but that's kind of like the biggest difference. So, you know, for me, do I want to become an Italian citizen? We'll see. For Alex, it makes sense, because that will give him, that will give you opportunity to actually have your own EU citizenship.
Maybe we should touch on some of the requirements for us to stay here. You know, we obviously had to have some proof of health insurance, being able to sustain ourselves with our salaries, and obviously all the documentation that we had to have translated and provided at the local town hall.
Yeah, so I think once we got here, the process itself wasn't too complicated, because all I had to do really was to go to town hall. I had to show them the documents, so the proof of insurance, bank statements, all the certificates that I had translated. And then we just had to fill up like a form of like where we live. And because we live in a home that's owned by Alex, you and your family, so we didn't have to get any rental agreements. We didn't have to get any purchasing agreements. It was just simply a form that Alex's mom had to sign to say that, yes, we are living in this apartment. So from that, it was pretty easy. For you, I think it was a bit more complicated, because you had to go to they call it Questura here, which is like a mix between like a police station / immigration office.
Yeah, it's an immigration office that sits in a police station, essentially. And yeah, that was a little more complicated. Even though we did have all our documentation in order, you know, and I provided all the proof I needed, the representative there wasn't too receptive, and you know, he kept having changes to the requirements. So there was quite a few visits to that office, and you know, after a lot of back and forth, a lot of you know, discussing these requirements with our lawyer, and having our lawyer reach out to the Questura, and that kind of helped, you know, getting that sorted. But yeah, that was quite a hair-raising experience.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things to keep in mind. Always consult a professional. So, you know, whether it's gathering the documents or trying to figure out how you can come to Italy or whichever country you're looking at. So I think there's different ways you can come to Italy. They're sort of limited and they have different requirements. You know, obviously, if you're an EU citizen, you can just do the same thing as I did. If you are, you know, if your spouse or your partner is an EU citizen, the same process applies. You know, if you're able to apply for citizenship, is even better. But if you have a job transfer, or if you are, I think it's a retirement visa, again, you'd have to consult a professional. I'm not sure what the full details and requirements are. But those are essentially how you can move to Italy and live here legally.
Yeah, and you know, even going through the all the proper channels, Be prepared for a lot of red tape. Unfortunately, that's just the way it is here, especially southern Italy. There's a lot of red tape, a lot of bureaucracy. So, you know, be prepared for that. Be patient, and you know, obviously, always make sure you consult a professional, and actually maybe even hire a professional to help you out.
So another question that we get asked a lot is, so how do we choose our home and where we live?
So we decided to live where we are currently, because obviously it's a family home. It was built early 1980s, shortly after the earthquake that occurred in southern Italy. You know, my parents purchased some land from family, locally in the town, and, you know, slowly built their home. And yeah, so here we are.
Yeah, can't say no to a free house, eh? So I say free house. We still pay our own bills. It's not like, you know, we get everything done for us. So we do, we have to have, it was actually quite funny to get everything hooked up, and trying to get like a plumber, electrician. It's very different than it is in Canada, and very frustrating, at least for me.
Yeah, it's a lot more difficult getting you know, workers out to do some repairs or get something done, especially in these smaller towns. You know, there aren't that many professionals, and even then, they're all pretty busy, or very busy, as we found out. So, you know, thankfully we had some local people that were able to carry out some of the work for us, and, you know, it's at a reasonable price. So that was a bonus.
Yeah. So we do plan on buying our own property. Right now we're looking at a place in Puglia. Puglia is a region of Italy that we both fell in love with, and eventually we want to move there. But I think our ultimate goal is to live in Rome, no?
Yeah, that was always the plan. Obviously, there's going to be a bit of a delay getting that point to that point, but I think we'll get there at some point.
Actually, I should mention the name of the podcast, Amongst Romans, is named after a blog that I started back in 2018 of the same name, because that was the plan. We're going to move to Rome and live in Rome amongst Romans. that took a bit of a delay, but yeah, so there is a blog, amongstromans.com. So the podcast is of the same name. If I have any relevant articles or anything else that's, you know, relevant to what we're talking about, we'll include those links in the show notes so you guys can check it out. Okay, so what tips do we have for people who want to buy a property or rent a property?
Many people may not know, buying property here in Italy isn't that may not be that difficult, but you know, it's all dependent on where you originate from. So if there are agreements between your country and Italy, you know, there may not be that much red tape or hoops you have to jump through to get, you know, to purchase a property.
Yeah, and I think you might be paying more taxes or the fees when you are not Italian citizen or not a resident. But you can buy a property in Italy if an Italian can buy a property in the country you come from. When it comes to renting, I must say at the moment we don't have a lot of experience with renting. But from what I hear from the different Facebook groups is you usually have to provide some sort of proof of income, proof of legally be able to stay here. And the advice that I come across a lot is document the state of your apartment. So if there is something that could be construed as damaged or broken later on, make sure you document that before you move in, just so there is no confusion later and you don't get blamed for something that was there before. So again, you know, if you're looking at renting or buying a property, we always say consult a professional and deal with somebody who knows the rules, because they might be very different. I'm pretty sure they are different from where you are coming from, especially I know they're different than in Canada. So it's got to be different for wherever you're from.
Yeah. Now let's talk about a little bit more about relocation. So make sure you're visiting the place you're planning on moving, because obviously you want to see what's, you know, whether that fits your lifestyle. The area has the amenities you need, doctors, hospitals, restaurants, anything that you think you require, especially depending on your age, obviously. Some things are more important than others.
Yeah, and I think I would say come and stay out of the touristy season. So, you know, if you love something in the summer, come see it in like fall, spring, maybe, when it's a very different environment, just so you can tell whether you still like it. Because it's different to come to Italy in the summertime when everything is lush and green and beautiful than it is, let's say, in like January or even like November, right? So make sure you come in that time, stay where you want to, or when you, where you're thinking of living. And also make sure you find out how to legally live here, because you don't want to come here and stay illegally, because then that would be a totally different podcast.
And obviously, you know, make sure you have the means to support yourself while you're here. You know, there's not just the documentation requirements that you need to have in order. You also need to make sure that you have enough funds while you're here. You know, whether you're able to work remotely. I know there's tax implications when it comes to working in Italy, you know, if you plan on staying here. Yeah, make sure you consult a tax professional beforehand, so you know the local tax laws, whether you're going to be claiming taxes in your originating country or here in Italy. Obviously, if you plan on staying here long term or pursuing citizenship, taxation, you know, may not be that difficult, because you'll have to do taxes here in Italy.
Yeah, and if you're looking to get a job here, Italy is the market for jobs in Italy. I guess it's really depends on what your background is. It's not the easiest market for jobs. It's very competitive, but also you have to speak the language. So if you don't speak Italian and you don't have a legal means of staying in Italy, you're not likely to find a job. So that's going to be very difficult. You know, even if you're coming here ahead of time, try to even learn the basics, because, you know, we're depending on where you live, there might not be people speaking English to you. Like where we live, there aren't many people here who speak English, like in stores and in restaurants. We're actually fortunate that we found a vet that speaks English, but, you know, like my hairdresser doesn't, so I have to communicate with her in Italian.
Yeah, you need to embrace the good with the bad when you're here. You know, there is a lot of red tape you'll encounter, especially when it's related to government services and such. But they're also, you know, telling customs, mentalities. You need to get used to things, how things work here. Essentially, you'll be screwing off your originating country's head and putting on your Italian head. So be prepared for those type of things. Relax and just go with the flow.
Yeah, and I think some of those inconveniences are sometimes the most entertaining, really, because you sort of come across something that might seem so ridiculous to you, or like, you know, whenever we've come across something that seems so ridiculous, but it's kind of normal here, and you just kind of think, that's so weird, and then you just kind of learn how to live with it, and it just becomes like an amusement. It's just part of life now, and yeah, it's, you know, a lot of people who move to different countries miss home, and, you know, we do miss home. There are certain things we do miss. We miss our friends and family, but we also love living here. And, you know, you have to have a positive outlook, because if you hate it here or you have negative feelings, your experience will be much different, right? So it's learning how to adapt to the Italian way of life, and it gets easier. You know, for us it wasn't so complicated, but there's still certain things that, you know, I wish they were better. So I think that's pretty much it. Those are our thoughts. So I think this brings us to the end of this episode. We hope you enjoyed it.
And we invite feedback, any questions or suggestions from the audience. Feel free to reach out to us.
So what are we going to be talking about in the next episode?
Oh, we'll be talking about traveling with pets.
Yeah, so we'll cover the journey of bringing our dogs to Italy and all the fun things that come along with it. So if you're looking at bringing your pet, or you just wonder what the process was like for us, tune in next week.
Thanks for listening. Ciao.
And this brings us to the end of this episode. Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed it. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and review on whatever you're listening right now. We'll be back next week, so stay tuned.